getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. You're listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester. Dr. Tanya is a licensed naturopathic doctor, acupuncturist, body talk practitioner, and edutainer with a passion for helping reduce pain and suffering and bringing more love, joy, and health into your life and into the world. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For more information about Dr. Tanya Winchester, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com. This is Farah, and I'm here with Dr. Tanya Winchester, and our subject today is in celebration of International Youth Day, and I'm sure a subject that's of interest to many youth, and that is the subject of birth control, contraception, and hormones.
Yeah, you got it.
So tell us a little bit about how naturopathic medicine views birth control and contraception.
Well, like anything, you know, prevention is an important component of naturopathic medicine. So depending on where a woman is in her life, preventing pregnancy is a priority. And for some people, that's actually just a choice that they want to carry through the entire component of their life, which is totally amazing and valid. So, you know, I think birth control is an important component of a healthy preventative lifestyle. And there's ways of sort of looking at it and supporting the body if you're doing that in a medicinal way, like a medication-based way, that can kind of minimize, you know, the side effects that might happen with that.
What are some of the side effects and risks of taking the pill, for example, over a long period of time?
One of the major things is risk of stroke. So anytime we're taking an estrogen in an oral form, it's going to actually sort of show or tell the liver to release little blood clots. And those blood clots can go, you know, circulating into the system and into the brain where it would then block an artery and then someone could have a stroke. Also, there's implications in breast health, breast cancer, uterine cancer, and also there's certain vitamin deficiencies that can happen with taking a birth control, and of course there's lots of different types, so I am generalizing here, but we'll see deficiencies in very specific B vitamins, you know, B1, B3, B6, B5, B12, really all the B vitamins get depleted, and there's an impact on the liver as well as it's having to process those medications.
So if I understand correctly, the pill is a form of estrogen, and what impact does taking extra estrogen into the body have on the hormones?
Right, so essentially what's happening when we take a birth control pill, and again there's different types of pills with different levels of different types of hormones, so estrogens, progestins, there's different brands have different balances. But essentially what's happening is that the body is prevented from ovulating. So without ovulation, we don't have an egg to get pregnant with sperm. That's really what's happening at a very basic level.
And are there any positive functions to ovulation, even if it doesn't end in the birth of a child? I mean, is there positive functions to shedding an egg?
I don't know. I'm only going to assume so because nature designed it that way. But the ovulation does cue a set of hormones that happen after to clear the lining out of the uterus. And I think that is a very healthy detoxifying thing, is menstruation is an opportunity for women to shed and let go.
So now it seems that the birth control pill is being prescribed not only for birth control but for other reasons, for example, for period pain or for acne or things like that. Are there other alternatives?
Absolutely. So if there is a hormone component to, say, acne, there are lots of things that we can do naturopathically that could change that hormone imbalance so that things are regulated again. And we could do that through, you know, herbs, through different nutrients, different food choices. And similarly, when it comes to period pain, and a lot of women do start on the pill because of either heavy bleeding or really painful bleeding, we can work with that as well in those same sort of techniques, different herbs, different food strategies, different nutrients. So there are other options for women out there if they're taking the pill for a non-contraceptive-based reason.
Mm-hmm. Are there any natural contraceptive methods that don't interfere with the hormonal system in the body?
We would typically talk about the symptothermal method. So this is a tracking method. What you do as a woman is you actually pay attention to different points of data, and every morning you would take your temperature. So that's called your basal body temperature. When we look at the pattern of that temperature over the course of a woman's cycle, we can actually see a very, very specific pattern. And just around the time of ovulation, we'll see the body temperature go up by about a degree, maybe a degree and a half, and stay elevated until menstruation. So we can see this sort of two-tiered plateaued temperature when we track that. So that could be part of the way that women could do that. The other way is to look at cervical mucus, and that changes throughout the cycle as well. And those two things in combination, so the sympto, the look of the cervical mucus, and also how you're feeling, and then the thermal, the temperature checking, is the symptothermal method. So with that, you can do both things. You can prepare to have a baby, knowing when the right time is to conceive, but also you can prepare to not have a baby by knowing when the sort of more danger times that you would potentially conceive would be.
So just by tracking temperature would be one natural method of birth control once we know our cycles and can see when that temperature rises.
Yeah, absolutely, and you would be able to get a sense of your pattern. There's apps that will track this for you as well. Of course, there's an app for that. A lot of women come into my office with these gadgets, and they're like, okay, let's look at my cycle. And yeah, but that information gives you a sense of when would be a safe time to have, you know, unprotected sex and when wouldn't be. And, of course, you do have to be responsible with this method. You do have to be very accurate and cognizant and consistent with these checks.
Mm-hmm. Cervical mucus, that's probably something that young people might not be comfortable doing, but temperature seems very accessible in terms of taking your basal temperature.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you are a young person who's having intercourse, I think a barrier method is a wise choice at this stage in your life, because unplanned pregnancies can be quite life-changing. So if you didn't want to be or couldn't be on, I have women who can't be on birth control pill. Another side effect that I didn't mention earlier is there's a lot of mood changes that can happen. I've had a lot of women sort of start getting panic attacks on the pill or almost have psychotic episodes on the pill. It can be quite dramatic in terms of the emotional mental effects. So if you're not able to, I think it would be a prudent and responsible thing to use some kind of barrier method as well. Now, all this being said, I'm seeing younger and younger people with IUDs, and an IUD is probably the most effective form of birth control. It is sort of 95 to 99% effective, and it's not dependent on user compliance, right? So it's going to be in there. It's going to be either releasing hormones or not, but it is the most predictable and accurate method of birth control.
So did I hear correctly, there are IUDs that release hormones and IUDs that don't, that just act as a barrier?
Correct.
So are there any risks involved with the IUDs that just act as a barrier and don't release hormones?
I have in my practice it's 50-50. Women either love having their IUD in or they don't love it. And so most women with an IUD in will have very light, if they have a period, it will be very light. So women often like the fact that they don't have a period. Obviously that's not what nature intends for us, so I question that. However, that aside, I haven't seen it in my practice, but I've heard stories of them sort of not being in the right place and having kind of like a physical injury inside. I don't think that's very common though.
So there are risks involved with all methods of birth control.
Absolutely, yes. We have to be conscious and get the information that we need to make a good choice for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned estrogen and the effect on breast health. Is there anything you want to add about the risks or the risks associated with taking oral contraceptives?
So anytime we're, again, taking something that is going to create an imbalance in our hormones, so in this case, generally we're creating an estrogen dominance, that can have an effect on how the breast tissue will proliferate or potentially cause tumors, and same with other estrogen-sensitive areas in the body, like the uterine tissue as well. So there, that is always a potential that you're going to sort of trigger the replication of cells in an uncontrolled way.
And is that because estrogen makes things grow?
Yes, essentially.
Mm-hmm. So what about the risks? Are there any risks associated with coming off the birth control pill or coming off any kind of contraceptive method?
It's always a bit of a question to see how a woman will respond after coming off, let's say, the pill as a clear example here. So a lot of women get started on a pill when they're quite young, and then they'll maybe come into my office in their late 20s and they want to come off the pill because they want to start having a family. I see this commonly. And we never really know what's going to happen because there's been this sort of contrived, arbitrary, unnatural situation for so long with the cycling. It can take some time before a woman comes back to a regular normal cycle. So thankfully, naturopathic medicine can support that transition, but sometimes women will just get a normal period right away and things are tickety-boo moving forward. Other women take, you know, 6, 7, 8 months. I've even seen it up to a year where it takes a long time for that cycle to kind of get back into a normal rhythm. The other thing, and this is very interesting to me, that one of the byproducts in the body of being on the pill is that your, and this is not a conscious thing, but your subconscious registration of other people's pheromones changes. So say, and I have seen this where, so say there's a couple, they've been together for a while, the entire time that woman's been on the pill, now they're ready to start having a family, and so she comes off the pill and all of a sudden she's not attracted to her partner anymore because his pheromones don't match with her biochemically, but that was masked on the pill. And so there's this lack of libido due to this lack of attraction, due to this sort of beyond our conscious aware or below our conscious awareness pheromone situation. So that's a very interesting, I've seen that 2 or 3 times actually in my years so far.
So tell us, what exactly are pheromones?
Pheromones are basically scent molecules that are emitted from humans, and we can pick them up just like animals do, and it gives us an information about whether we want to be partners with that person or not, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
It's very primal.
And it's not only women that secrete
Everyone does, yeah.
Men and women secrete pheromones.
Yeah, and so that's what I'm saying, like after coming off the pill, after having sort of that sensitivity blocked for so long, is that all of a sudden she's not obviously consciously aware of this, but she's not interacting well with her partner's pheromones, and then there's this lack of compatibility in a sexual way.
Mm-hmm. And are there any things that naturopathic medicine can do for libido or to sync up pheromones in that way?
Yes, 100%. There's always stuff that we can do from a naturopathic perspective, yeah.
So what would be some examples in terms of low libido that could help?
It depends on the cause of it, but one herb that I would come to often would be called tribulus, and tribulus terrestris is the Latin name, and that can be useful for both male and women, or men and females. Oh my gosh, I just did the opposite. You know what I'm saying. But I would need to know what the cause of the low libido is.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it's stress in the marriage, then you can take all the tribulus you want and it's not going to get you hot for your partner.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We have talked about birth control, estrogen, IUDs, natural methods, increasing libido. Are there any things that you as a naturopathic doctor feel in terms of the whole issue of consent and self-esteem and some of the more emotional aspects of when youth come into their sexuality and want to experiment and express it?
Yeah, I mean, such a delicate time of life when we are trying to sort of individuate and become our own humans and wanting to, explore and take risks and try things that we haven't before. And I think it's just really important to remember that your body is yours and ultimately you have the say about what's going to happen with that body. So peer pressure is a thing that's real, and being strong and standing in what feels good and true for you is really important.
Yes, and learning to say no and learning to listen to the body.
Yes, absolutely.
Are probably important parts of that, not just for young
women, but
nope.
Women
of
all
Yeah,
ages.
That carries through all life. That's absolutely right.
Anything that you learned in your youth that you think might be useful for youth out there who are thinking about these issues?
From my youth, I was a good kid, not to place judgment on anything, but I was very clear about what I was becoming and what I wanted and what would help me get there and what wouldn't. So I was just, and I had that luxury of knowing from an early age what path I was on. Not everybody has that. So I was just very clear, like I didn't make choices that would impede my ability to become a naturopathic doctor and sit here and have this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So clarity and purpose was really helpful in helping you discern the kinds of situations that would help you as an individual.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I know that a lot of people don't have that clarity when they're young. I was lucky to. Or maybe it's not luck. Maybe it was, you know, something other than luck. But I was on path and I knew what needed to happen or not in my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've covered lots, and I think that's a lot of information for people out there to think about, and hopefully there will be some nuggets in there that will be useful. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
You've been listening to Tonic Podcast, the podcast of Dr. Tanya Winchester. Getting you healthy, happy, and doing what you love. The natural medicines and therapies mentioned in this podcast are not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for seeking medical attention. For any health concern, it's always best to make an appointment to see a licensed medical practitioner. For more articles and blog posts, visit Dr. Tanya, T-O-N-I-A, Winchester.com, or visit us in beautiful Nanaimo, BC at Tonic Naturopathic Clinic. Have a delightful day.